COO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. It's Public Radio Music Day. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunatchish, Hawa, Toksaknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, the Princess Sophia Remembrance is happening this Thursday at noon. We talk with Mary Lou Spartz about the event's significance. Juno Ghostlight Theater is opening A.R. Gurney's Love Letters this Friday, October 25th. It's a three-week run with a different cast and director each weekend. We preview it with the producer and a couple of the actors from the show. We talk with Cancer Connection about their annual community health forum happening this Saturday, October 26th. The Juno Chamber of Commerce shares award highlights and more from their annual gala. And we chat with the Bartlett Beginnings team about the third annual Real Talk Walk Slash Run happening this Saturday, which highlights birth trauma, birth healing and reflection, and other topics. Those conversations, music, and more coming up on this packed hour of Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Mary Lou Spartz, who is here to share with us some details on the Princess Sophia Remembrance happening Friday. I spoke incorrectly in the intro. It's actually happening this Friday at noon. Welcome, Mary Lou. Gunatchish.
Hi, Boston. So good to see you.
It's so good to see you. It's always fun to visit. Mary Lou and I met in 1991 when we did a play at Perseverance Theater called Amigos Blue Guitar. You played my grandmother, I believe.
I did play your grandmother.
I was a young punk, and it was my first, one of my first professional shows. So it's always an honor to have that relationship with you and to see you again. So let's get into this. So I spoke incorrectly. I want to make sure people know it's Friday.
It's Friday.
And tell us about the Princess Sophia for those who may not know and why we are celebrating it and in this remembrance that's happening on Friday.
Well, the Princess Sophia is a major part of Juno's history. It's a maritime history, of course, but it's a major part of our history here. The Sophia sank 50 miles away from Juno, north, in Lynn Canal at the Vanderbilt Reef. And she was headed down to, out of Skagway, down to Vancouver, British Columbia, and had a full complement of passengers, and hit the Vanderbilt Reef on the 23rd, I believe. And it was a major storm. The wind was ferocious. The sea was ferocious. Everything was against her. And she hung there for almost 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Before she went down.
And this was in 1918?
1918,
right, okay. So it's been 100 and, let's see, let's do the math. 2018 was the 100th. Uh-huh. Now we're in 2024, so we add six, right?
Yeah,
so is this
yeah.
the 106th anniversary of that sinking?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so it ran aground actually on the 23rd, which is today.
Yeah.
But it didn't sink until the 25th fully, right?
That's right, yeah.
Were there efforts by folks to try and save some people? Or
oh,
what
yes, yeah. yes. Well, major efforts from those in the community that had vessels that could go out to take the passengers off. But there was no way to safely get them at that time, there was no way to safely get them off the ship. She was really hung up. She was high and dry. There were all kinds of efforts made. Nothing worked. Absolutely nothing worked. It was just so tragic.
So tell us about the remembrance that's happening on Friday. What is it, and where does it take place?
It's at the Evergreen Cemetery. The Evergreen Cemetery, if you're going out of town on Glacier, is to the right just after you cross West 12th Street, and it's right there to the right. Mm-hmm. And the remembrance is at the gravesite of Walter Harper and his bride, Frances Wells. It's up a little closer to the top of the cemetery than to where you would go in on Glacier. But you will find it there, and we go to their gravesite. There are about 22 people buried there at the cemetery.
From
the Sophia.
Okay, from the Sophia. Okay. Yeah. Is there a particular reason that you meet at the Walter Harper and Frances Wells gravesites?
Well, Walter Harper is a very, very interesting person in his own right. When he and his bride, he'd just been married in Fort Yukon, and they were on their honeymoon, and the decision was made by their parents. She was from Pennsylvania, and he was from central Alaska, Nenana area, and the decision was made for that they were together in life, they should be together in death.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that. So people gather at around noon, and Father Blue from Trinity does a little service?
Yes, Father Blue will hold a very short, because it's nippy out there these days.
Yeah, it's a little cold, yeah.
And nobody wants to linger, but we'll have a little service with prayers. And we will, I believe, recite the names of those who are resting at the Evergreen Cemetery.
Who were victims of the Princess
Sophia.
Who
were victims of the tragic event.
Yeah. And how long has this remembrance been going on? It's been going on for like 25, 30 years, right, that you all have been doing this?
I wish it's been over 20 years, I think.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. That's amazing. And it happens every year on the 25th, right?
Yes.
October 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So, rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
Cold or not. Yeah, but you keep it short, so because it is in that late October time, it gets a little cold out there.
Yeah, it's too cold to linger.
Right. And also, I heard that there's a memorial out at Eagle Beach that was installed on the 100th anniversary. Do you know about that?
Yes. There's a wonderful plaque out there. Is that what you're mentioning?
Yeah.
And that's been moved. Maybe people are having a little trouble finding it. But it was moved because the bank of the river where it was originally positioned has sloughed off.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That bank continues to slough. So it's been moved to a forested spot not far from there.
Yeah.
And if you follow the trail around, there's a trail there that starts at information booth is, information cabin is. You follow that trail around and you'll come to it.
Okay, great.
Up in the wooded area.
I love that.
It's been repositioned.
Repositioned, okay. But this Friday, you want to go to Evergreen Cemetery.
Yeah.
It's the Princess Sophia Remembrance. It's happening at noon at Evergreen Cemetery. And it's a wonderful remembrance of those who lost their lives in the Princess Sophia tragedy in 1918. Mary Lou, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about that.
I have one thing to add.
Yeah, please.
At 2 o'clock on the 25th, a wonderful videographer who's in town, one of the things he hopes to do is film the remembrance this year.
Oh, okay.
He's working on a documentary of the sinking. It's the first one I have ever known about, and we're just thrilled to have his work. His name is Silas Firth. He's from Homer, and he's in town just briefly, and he wants to film the remembrance. So that's an additional thing of interest at that. But at 2 o'clock, he's going to talk about the documentary, what the pieces that are coming together and the things that he hopes to do and the reasons he's doing it.
Oh, absolutely. That's so
great.
And
that will be at the APK, the museum.
Okay.
And the big room there, the big auditorium, I can't remember the name.
Yeah. You know, on the first floor there, yeah.
On the first floor, and I'm sure, you know, it won't be more than, well, I can't say, but I'm sure that he'll be answering questions and talking about his work. And he's a very nice, charming young man who I think of him as young. And
that's awesome.
And he will be here, and we're so lucky to have him, and we're just delighted he's working on this documentary.
Yeah, for sure. When he gets it finished, we'll have to have him on the show and talk about that. So, Gunatish Mary Lou, thank you so much. The Princess Sophia Remembrance, Evergreen Cemetery, noon on Friday, or the APK. You can learn a little bit more about this documentary that's being made at 2 p.m.
So, it's at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thanks, Mary Lou. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Boston.
Okay, today, as I mentioned in the intro, is Public Radio Music Day. It's a nationwide celebration uniting public radio stations, music fans, artists, and other members of the music industry to recognize and spread the word about the special role non-commercial stations play in the music world, locally and nationally. Of course, KTOO offers two public media music stations in KRNN at 102.7 and KXLL at 100.7. Find both stations online at our website, ktoo.org. And for more on this day in specific, you can go to noncommusic.org. And in honor of the day, today we hear some Playboy Spaceman, who is having an album launch party this Saturday, October 26th at the Crystal Saloon. This, what we're going to hear now, is Working Downstairs. And up next, we will chat with Juno Ghostlight Theater about their next project, Love Letters, featuring a rotation of actors and directors. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. One, two, three, four.
Every job I had, had them all downstairs, had them all downstairs, downstairs from you. Well, ain't that true? Ain't nobody that cares that I've been down here, underneath the level two. And sometimes, underneath the level one, scrubbing the toilets, sweeping the floor, behind the door, without window. Every job I've done, done them all downstairs, done them all downstairs, downstairs from you. While you are up there on your computer, ordering new shoes, just so you refuse, burning the tissues, smelling the fumes, and I'm running low. I keep thinking that I'm something bigger than I am, and it's hurting me to know I'm not that tall. I've been working day shifts, night shifts, mornings, and I'm called, and I'm wondering, is that all there is to me?
Little Playboy Spaceman on Public Radio Music Day on KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Love Letters by A.R. Gurney is a play that chronicles a decades-long relationship through notes, letters, postcards, and more. Juno Ghostlight Theater is producing this piece, and it has some unique features that make this one special. I'm joined now in studio by Nomi Saxton, Elizabeth Peisel-Davis, and Senator Jesse Kiel. Senator Jesse Kiel?
Amazing.
What's he doing here for a theater piece? Let's talk about that. Gunath Chishat, Yay Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
It's good. Great.
Good, good, good. Okay, so Nomi, you're the producer of this project. Tell us about Love Letters and why these people are here. Oh, and full disclaimer, I think I might be involved.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor.
Love Letters is where it's being put on by Juno Ghostlight Theater, and we're excited because this is actually the first time we've done a two-show season in decades.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the structure of the show is just really cool because every weekend we have a different director and a different cast and a different live opening musical act. So, and everybody in the studio today is in one of those weekends.
Right. So let's talk about that. So Elizabeth, mm-hmm. you, I think, are in this weekend, this opening weekend.
Yeah, we open on Friday.
Awesome. And who is your Love Letters partner?
My Love Letters partner is Roblyn Davis, who also happens to be my actual partner.
They have great chemistry on stage.
I imagine. That's so cool. Have you been able to work with Roblyn recently, or is this the first time you guys have been able to work together for a while?
We have done shows together before, but this is really the first time where we've played across from each other in this way, where we're kind of a love interest, best friend interest.
Yeah.
So it's been really, it's been good and kind of weird sometimes to... Because, you know, the characters are not us, but at right. the same time, there's these feelings of like, oh, yeah, I remember that feeling. And
so, especially if you've been together for a long time, right, mm-hmm. which you and Roblyn have. So tell us a little bit about the story of Love Letters.
Well, these two people meet in grade school, and they have some things in common, but they're also very different. But they have this magnetic pull towards each other, and sometimes they just goof off, and sometimes they follow the rules, and oftentimes Melissa does not follow the rules, and it seems like they often just miss their opportunity to be a couple or miss their opportunity to be a pair. But they're always circling each other. And it's that dynamic push and pull and missed opportunity and then all of a sudden having the opportunity and then what happens that I find really exciting about the show.
Yeah, and the conceit of this, Nomi, that makes it work and the reason you can have three casts with three directors is you're actually reading the letters. I mean, they're being enacted, right? Yeah. They're being performed, but you're actually watching this tale play out from passing notes as children in grade school all the way through to many, many decades later. And like Elizabeth said, sort of the missed opportunities and the flirtatiousness, but then will they, won't they, should they not, who does what to who, those kinds of things. And so was that when you all decided to do this as a project, did you see that as an opportunity to involve like multiple sets of actors and directors?
Yeah, it's actually the way this show is generally produced, because it's a great opportunity for people who don't necessarily have a lot of time to come in and do the production without a lot of rehearsals, because it's just reading the letters that they've written back and forth to each other over the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's so great. And I love the fact that you're adding like some music pre-show to be able to sort of set the mood. And so this opens this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday with Elizabeth Pyle Davis and her real-life partner, Roblyn Davis. And then the second weekend is myself, as well as my partner in this is Leslie Ishii, who is the artistic director of Perseverance Theater. So I love the crossover with theaters working with other theaters. That's really cool. And then the third weekend. What's going on, Jesse?
Well, that's the one after the election.
That's a good one. I guess you were a little busy before that.
Yeah. You know, it's tough to commit when you're on the trail. But yeah, that's November 8, 9, and 10. And I get to act with Patricia Hull Latimer, her last name, again for the first time in mercy. It's probably been 20 years since she and I were on the stage together.
Whoa, do you remember what that project was?
We were in On the Razzle at Perseverance Theater.
Oh my gosh, the Tom Stoppard play.
Good fun.
I did that in college. It's a farce, right? That's a good time.
I got to play the bawdy coachman in that one, and I may or may not have carried someone off stage over my shoulder. I was younger then. I had the back foot.
We all were, for sure. That's so great. So that's a great opportunity for you to work with, because that's what I didn't know you had done that. So I was curious about like your attraction to coming back to theater? Obviously, you're very busy these days, being a senator and all of that. But is it something that's sort of in your heart that you love to just do on the side?
Oh, it is, and it long has been. I mean, I have an undergraduate degree in it, so you know that it's good to come back to my roots a little bit. And I've managed to jump on stage a little here and there with Theater at Latitude 58 and a couple of other projects. But this opportunity is my first time with Ghostlight. Never got the chance with the predecessor back when there was a Juno Douglas Little Theater. So a great opportunity for me to participate with this great organization and bring this great script to life for one of the 3 weekends.
That is so cool. And I'm curious, because do you ever find, you know, there's a lot of things when you are younger. I was in debate and theater and all these kinds of things. And I thought maybe one day I was going to be a lawyer. Right. And I thought that that would be a good crossover, that experience. Do you find that having a theatrical background has helped you in your career in politics?
I think anything that helps you think about people and how they react and interact, how they listen and convince one another and go after what they want is good anytime you have to interact with, get to work with people.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt to have a little experience with knowing when to breathe so you can finish your sentence without gasping for a little more air.
Yes, absolutely. That's so fun. And Nomi, what a great opportunity for, as they call it in the biz, sort of stunt casting, right? To be able to grab people who may be too busy, like you said,
yeah,
to commit to a full production. 'Cause, you know, plays people may not know, but plays can rehearse up to 4 to 6 weeks sometimes every night and on the weekends, and it takes a lot to put a play together. But with this kind of construction of, you know, simple, being able to read the script, there's not a whole lot of blocking, there's, you know, simple, some nice music, but then it focuses on the words of the play and the actors and the relationship that's created. And that's really, what a wonderful opportunity for that to be something that you're all able to do.
Yeah, we were really lucky to be able to get the cast that we have. Yeah, so we're really excited. Something else to note is that all of our Sunday matinees will have ASL interpreters.
Oh, absolutely. That is so cool.
So we're really excited about that. Robin Brenner and Anita Evans are going to be joining us every Sunday.
So cool. Well, that's great for Sundays.
Yeah.
And so how do people get tickets and stuff for this?
Yes, you can go to JunoGhostlight.com for more information. We're also going to be out at Devil's Club Brewery Pizza Night tonight. So if people want to come out, they can get more information from us there, and they can also buy tickets. I would say that we're already about 50% sold out for opening night. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely go and get those tickets.
They're coming to see you, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I love
that. The fun thing about this, too, is for people who love to go to the theater, you can go 3 weekends in a row and really dig into, like, oh, I remember, you know, the first weekend they did this particular scene this way, but oh, look how they're doing it this time, or just what each actor brings to the role and to the story, but we're all telling the same story. I think that is a really neat opportunity for Juno as well.
That's a really cool thing, to be able to see how different actors interpret a script and or how the directors interpret the script. I do want to shout out the other directors. So the first weekend is directed by Valerie Kissel. The second weekend is directed by Terry Kramer. And the third weekend is directed by Kelsey Riker. And that is amazing. And the music, we've got, help me with the first name. Is it Josh Kolaski?
Kolaski.
Kolaski, okay. Mm-hmm. Josh Kolaski is doing music the first weekend. Alina Levi is doing the second. And Spencer Edgars will be doing opening music on the third weekend. Of course, it all starts this Friday, October 25th. There is also on general admission is $25, and it looks like Sunday there's a sliding scale as well.
Sunday we have a sliding scale, so you can we have $10, $25, and $40 price points. So you can pay a little less if you want to, or if you'd like to support us, you could pay a little more.
And again, that is when the ASL interpreters will be at that performance.
Yeah, for the 2 o'clock matinee.
Oh man, it's so good. That's so good. This is a really fun project. I'm really excited to be involved. I can't wait to see all of you do it and to see those differences. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and to hear some of this great music. It's JunoGhostlight.com. It's Love Letters by A.R. Gurney, and it opens this weekend. I really appreciate y'all coming in. Gunnath Cheese for being here today.
Thanks for having
us.
Thanks so much.
on the day that I was born. They took me from my mama's arms and put me in an iron lung. By the time I figured out what the fuck that was about, I wrote the first song that I'd sung. Now it's trying to kill me.
It's trying to kill me.
And you don't kill me.
You don't kill me.
Cause somehow I just seem to survive. No one can heal me.
No one can heal me.
Nothing to thrill me.
Nothing to thrill me.
And I don't know how I'm keeping it alive. Lord, I keep keeping it alive. Run out of land when I finally made a big stand. I came so far northwest, I was southeast. My feet done hit the ground, I found myself all turned around in the jaws of a hungry, headless beast. It's trying to kill me.
It's trying to kill me.
But it don't kill me.
But it don't kill me.
Cause somehow I just seem to survive. No one can heal me. Nothing to thrill me. And I don't know how I'm keeping it alive. Lord, I keep keeping it alive.
A little more Playboy Spaceman on Public Media Music Day. That is Keeping It Alive. They are performing this Saturday night with an album release party at the Crystal Saloon, Saturday, October 26th. You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, October 26th, is the annual Community Health Forum, sponsored by Cancer Connection. It's from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Centennial Hall. For more details, go to cancerconnectionak.com. I'm joined now in the studio by Board President Cheryl Weinberg, as well as Ruth Johnson. And on the horn, we have our keynote speaker, Dr. Gary Ferguson. Gonna cheese shot yay adi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today and joining us online. Dr. Gary, thank you so much. What's Wasiati? How's it going?
Great.
Going great.
Awesome.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's always good to see you. And I know we talk about this Community Health Forum. Usually you come on annually to tell us about this forum. It's a wonderful thing. It's a luncheon. It's a whole thing. But describe for us, Cheryl, what is the Community Health Forum?
Okay. I'm happy to. So the Community Health Forum, as you said, is an annual event. It's multifaceted. It's our awareness event for the year. And we have exhibitors at Centennial Hall for an hour or so before the doors open. And when the doors open, we have a hosted lunch, prepared by Breezian. And then we have a speaker. Before the speaker, though, we recognize with awards people who have contributed to the community. And so we have a corporate sponsor of the year, volunteer of the year, provider of the year.
Philanthropist.
I like that Ruth's whispering.
Yeah, you can say it out loud.
You have a microphone too,
and
Ruth.
I'm missing one more. We have awardees that we recognize just very briefly, but with great sincerity, and then we introduce the speaker. And this year, we're just so delighted to have Dr. Gary Ferguson with us. And I have to say, he's back by popular demand. When there was a women's forum and a men's forum, he was the men's forum speaker in 2012, and people still talk about his speech. And so I figure, you know, that's a really good indication that it was very meaningful for folks. And so when we got in touch with him and he said yes, we were thrilled.
I love that. And Ruth, how do people get involved, and how do they just show up, or do they have to register? What's the deal in terms
just
of signing
show
up? Just show up.
Just show up. This is the case of, yes, there is such a thing as a free lunch. People will tell you there ain't no free lunch. There is.
You do take a donation, though, for the lunch.
Do.
If people want to, they can spend $10 and help to defray the cost of that. But the entire forum is free if you want it to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's from 11 to 2, mm-hmm. and it's at Centennial Hall.
Yes.
Right, okay. And who should attend this forum?
Everyone should attend this forum. Last time Dr. Ferguson came, as Cheryl said, we had separate events for men's and women's. And ever since that event, especially since we combined them, I thought the women need to hear this guy too. I think the whole community will love him. And that was a long time ago. So his knowledge base has only expanded since then. That talk in 2012 was the store outside your door and how, you know, the natural and native foods that we have in Alaska are so healthy for you and have anti-cancer properties. And so many more people now are into that kind of foraging and more interested in those sorts of things. So I'm hoping that's one of the things he'll be talking about again anyway.
Well, let's talk to him. I think it's so weird, too, that 2012 feels like it was just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about that was a dozen years ago.
Yeah, I know, right?
Time is the enemy, isn't it? Anyway, this year's topic for the conference is As We Heal Ourselves, a conversation on climate change, cancer, and hope, right? And of course, you can go to cancerconnectionak.org for more information and to see some of the information that Dr. Gary is about to share with us. But Dr. Gary Ferguson, thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like your talk from a dozen years ago really impacted the community. And tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear this Saturday.
Great. Thank you for having me and so deeply honored to be invited back again. You're right. 12 years went by really fast. So we're going to talk about some of the things we talked about before, the store outside your door, traditional foods, the importance of nutrition. Then we're going to also look at how we can adapt and be more resilient in the face of climate change. We know Southeast Alaska, I mean, we've got Kotzebue underwater right now with the flooding. We have, you know, these historic storms, and it's affecting our health. And it is affecting our rates of cancer and also the treatment that we get, the timeliness of it, and, you know, a whole host of factors related to cancer and well-being. So we'll be covering those topics, and I'll be bringing in some of my work. I spent the last 4 years at Washington State University in the College of Medicine in a research institute focused on Indigenous health equity, and we did some work around climate change and health. So I'll be sharing some data and stories in that space, as well as, you know, I'm from the Aleutian region in Alaska, Munugar Aleut, and I have a big passion for Indigenous health, as well as, you know, as we look at the things that are facing Native people, all of us are in the same boat as we look at the future with climate change and how can we adapt, how can we be more resilient, and then also what can we do individually to promote well-being, not only in our own family's life and our lives, but also in our community and the world. I mean, I do feel like we all impact the world in very meaningful ways every single day. And what can we do to amplify that? So those would be some components of the talk.
That's awesome. That sounds really great. And I'm assuming that 12 years on, and just in terms of the work that you do over the last decade or so, there's been so much more information about climate change and the things that are going on. And I'm sure that's kind of impacting the kinds of messages that you're able to send out to folks as well. Yes?
Exactly. Well, 12 years ago, you know, as we think about the timeline, there were a lot of climate change deniers. And there, not that there aren't still out there, but I tell you what, those of us in Alaska and from Alaska, we know climate change is real. And, you know, it's the future is something we're going to all have to come together to face, as well as how are we going to provide health and health care to climate refugees and folks who are leaving some of our villages and places that they can't live anymore. You know, there's a lot of factors, and I think it's going to take all of us to come together to address the future of our health and even be more community-minded than ever before.
I love it. I think it's going to be a fantastic forum. It's always a wonderful addition. Cancer Connection does so many great things here in Juneau. You can find out more about all the different things they do and the different programs they offer. They have all kinds of things that happen, support to get down to Seattle and all kinds of things that they do for our community, cancerconnectionak.org. But this Saturday is the Community Health Forum. It's from 11 to 2 at Centennial Hall, no charge, with a lunch. You can plop down a couple bucks so to help support that if you want to. But it's really going to be awesome, and I really appreciate you coming in today and telling us a little bit about it. Gwyneth Cheesh, it's Cheryl Weinberg, Ruth Johnson, and Dr. Gary Ferguson. I really appreciate you all being here.
Thank you so much. And I got some really
thank
quickly
you.
Yeah.
Lunch for the first 200.
Oh. So lunch. There's a limit on the lunch.
Well, we had to decide how many lunches to have. So just if you get there later, you might not get lunch, but we hope you get there on time.
It's a real balancing act to have enough food and not waste any food.
Right.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that makes total sense. So get there early, basically, is what you're saying. Get in there early and get a lunch ticket and enjoy. And if you don't, that's okay because you still get to hear Dr.
Speaker.
Gary Ferguson talk. So
absolutely.
All right. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. George Kuhar and the Playboy Spaceman with Elevator Man. It's Public Media Music Day. Playboy Spaceman's playing this Saturday at the Crystal Saloon for an album launch party, and we just wanted to highlight them today on Public Media Music Day. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, and I am Boston Christopher, and Maggie McMillan is here from the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Gwyneth Cheesh, Maggie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, our little monthly check-in with you. And you have awesome things to talk about. Basically, a gala recap. It happened. We talked about this blueprint. The theme was blueprint. And then you had this event. So tell us about
it. Yes. And I said last time that the university was building me something and I couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so every year we have a different theme. And this year we highlighted the building trades. And the university and JDHS worked together. And they literally built a little model of a house under construction as our entryway. So our guests got to walk through a tiny little house that went from being like studs, bare bone, to a complete finished with a window and a light fixture.
Whoa.
All built by students. How cool is that?
That is really cool. I'm sure there's pictures on your Facebook page.
Oh, yes. And then my big project, every year I take on a big project. And this year I built chandeliers with Jerry Harmon and Corey Baxter. We built our biggest chandelier was 9 feet by 11 feet. So they were giant and spectacular.
What?
And I don't think Centennial Hall has ever looked so amazing, personally.
9 feet by 11 feet?
I'll show you a picture when we're done.
Okay, I'll have to go on the Facebook page. They are probably
yes, they're
on, there
on
too.
Our Facebook, okay, they're good. On our Instagram, and they'll soon be on our website. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, of course, junochamber.com for all that. And you can just search Juno Chamber on Facebook and Instagram and find it.
The coolest part about, I think, that gala is our awards.
Yeah.
So since 1977, the Chamber has been recognizing a Citizen of the Year, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and then last year we started doing the Business of Distinction.
This year's Business of Distinction was Bullwinkle's, and they got it for their decades of supporting the youth in this town.
Yes.
They are fierce about keeping kids off drugs. And I don't know if you know, but they have a scholarship program for their employees, and they've actually helped so many kids become college graduates here in this community.
I had heard that. So that's pretty cool.
It was really cool to be able to give that award to Mitch. And not only was Mitch there, but the original founder of Bullwinkle's, Bill Adair, happened to be there. So they both came on stage to get the award, which was really special.
That is special.
And then for our Lifetime Achievement Award, we gave it to Bruce Simonson, and he is the founder of the Box Society here in Juneau, and he got nominated by so many people. We had letter after letter after letter about how he's impacted the youth in the music scene and how during COVID he created online choirs and parking lot choirs so people would still sing together and have community. So it was really cool to give someone in the arts community as a business organization. And the coolest part about that is he said the reason that Juneau has such a robust art community is because we have such a business community that supports the arts. And I really love to hear that because I do believe that we work really hand in hand here in this community.
A reciprocal relationship, yeah.
Yeah. And then the coolest one of the night, in my opinion, is we surprised John Blasco. I cut his mic midway through him talking, and we made him sit down on stage. He thought he was announcing the next winner, and he was our winner for the Lifetime Achievement Award. He was the basketball coach for Thunder Mountain boys basketball team, and he took them all the way to state last year. But he also handled the school closing and helping those young men handle all of that really well. So kudos to John. He's
and
also
that award is the Citizen of the Year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it was a really, really amazing night, and we got to celebrate three really well-deserving people.
Yeah, that's what a great cross-section of Juneau, right? A high school basketball coach, a Juneau Box Society, and, of course, Bullwinkle's. Everybody knows Bullwinkle's. What a great trio of awards that you gave out there. And then you also you announced some new board members and such?
Yeah, we lost some board members. We lost Travis McCain and Max Mertz and Wayne Jetson and Eric Forrest. And those are all fantastic board members, and they've given us a lot of years, so we're going to miss them. But we gained some. We gained Aparna Palmer from the university.
Love Aparna Palmer.
Yep.
Dr. Alec Palmer.
Alec Mustag from ALNP.
Nice.
Mark Mustag from LG Rayfeld. They're cousins for anyone who's listening. People are like, you got brothers on your board. I'm like, no.
Not that that would be a bad thing.
No, but and they do very different things.
Yeah.
Mark Guevara from First National Bank, Rochelle Lindley from CORE, and then Drew Green from CLAA. He's the port director, not like what Carl does, but he helps schedule the cruise ships. And so all of them are our new board members. That's a huge turnover. It's like a 30% board turnover this year. It just happened to be where terms all fell. So I'm really excited to have five new perspectives on our board.
That is so cool. And then you also have a new board president, right?
Yes. So Laura McDonald served for the last year. Ben Brown from Perseverance Theater is now our current board president. So another art community representative heading up our board this year. And then they announced our president-elect. So next year's president will be Corey Baxter. Corey is a small business owner. He owns Baxter Plowing, but he also is the rep for the Operators Union. And he's been on our board for the last couple of years, and he's been a really great asset. So we're excited to have him in that role.
That is so cool. What a great dinner, great gala, new people, great awards, all good stuff. And so what's up next for the chamber?
Oh, man. So I have a new assistant. She just started, and she's going to get her feet wet. Well, she jumped right in for dinner, but she's going to have to start working on legislative welcome. So that's for the Alaska Committee, but it's something that I chair up, and it is the welcome to the legislator. It happens on the first day of session, which is January 21st. We will be at Centennial Hall. Usually about 700 people show up. There is free food. Not wine and beer, but there's water and coffee and appetizers. And then legislature and their family come, and it's a really great opportunity for you to meet your local representatives.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
So, and it's also really cool. The businesses all give gifts across the community, and we make gift bags for every legislature that welcomes them to the community. So all small businesses are welcome to put in a small item into the bag, and we collect them all, and we then deliver them to the legislature.
Oh, that's great. So if people want to do that, they just reach out to the chamber, right?
Yep. You could reach out to info@junochamber.com, and we would help you fill out the forms and get involved.
I love that. Maggie McMillan, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. I'm glad that the Blueprint Gala went off without a hitch and that all these people are involved. It's, you do wonderful work for our community, and I really appreciate you being here today and catching us up. We'll see you in a month or so.
Thank you so much, Boston.
Absolutely. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Up next, we'll talk to Bartlett Beginnings about the Real Talk Walk and Run that's happening this Saturday. Would you do it again? I believe you can. And when your day becomes numbers, we don't have to pretend like it ain't happened along this line, my friend.
Elevator man, take us up to 10. And would you do it again? I believe you can. And when your day become numbers, we don't have to pretend like it ain't happening. No long goodbye, my friend.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, the Bartlett Beginnings team is presenting the third annual Real Talk Walk / Run. Your choice. I'm joined now by Sarah Grass from Bartlett Beginnings and Terry Forrest from Anchor Counseling. And Gwyneth Cheeshot-Yadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Wasiati, how's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. So now, this year, I know we've had you on before. Does each year take a different topic, or is it always? Because this year, the introduction was, the journey to parenthood is nothing short of challenging. Infertility, pregnancy and infant loss, birth trauma, postpartum mental health, motherhood. Right.
Right,
I like
right.
Those are all periods in between there. So it's like, and then just motherhood, which is a
big
one.
Kind of encompasses a lot of it, right?
It's a big one, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about how, do the topics change, or is it always in this realm?
Well, being the third year, we have pretty much just had the focus of getting these topics out there. So we have not taken that approach of having a different focus each year, although I'm liking that idea for future years as well.
I'll take the credit.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Totally
absolutely.
Kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely the whole purpose of the event is to raise awareness around all of those topics that you were listing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And how did it start 3 years ago? Where did that idea come from?
Yeah. Do you want to take that, Terry?
Sure.
I will give Terry credit for that being her idea.
So we just found both in, I'm a therapist here in Juneau, so being in the healthcare field, both Sarah and I, finding that there's a lot of need for support groups for moms, parents, any of those kind of areas, and we found that wasn't existing in Juneau at the time, about 4 years ago. So we really filled that need by having support groups. We've got the pregnancy and infant loss group, and then we've got a Real Talk Mother support group. And so from there, the Real Talk Walk was born.
I see. Okay. And so, and you you work at Anchor Counseling, or own Anchor Counseling, and
Correct.
You work with Bartlett Beginnings all the time, right?
Yep. So we have the three different groups and then the Real Talk Walk that we partner.
I see. Okay. That's great. And so tell us, what is the Real Talk Walk slash run? Give us all the details.
Yeah.
And
so this year it's going to be this coming Saturday, the 26th, at 9 o'clock in the morning. At the airport trail. Want to make sure we've got the time and location
there,
right? It's a family-friendly event. It includes, in the past and this year, we are doing a tot trot, which I believe is 80 yards, 80 something in that range. It's a short little tot trot.
Toddler trot. Gotcha.
So just a short little event for the ones with littler legs and littler endurance.
That's so cool, though, because they all want to participate,
yeah,
right? They're like, I want to do something. But then they start doing the regular one. They're like, okay, I'm done.
Exactly.
Pick me up.
We have a pretty short little one there, and then there's a half-mile event for kiddos that are a little bit older. And then right after that, we do the one-mile walk or 5K run. So people can walk or run, however they want to participate. And in the past, it's been, you know, people walking independently or kiddos in strollers or running, whatever combination.
No rules.
It's pretty low-key. The idea is just getting folks out there. You know, we have bibs for the race where people often put, if they're walking or running in memory of a loss or in recognition of a loss or in recognition or honor of, you know, a family member that is maybe struggling with perinatal mental health issues. And then I think sometimes seeing those names, people connect and start talking. And so not only is it about raising awareness of resources in town, but there's a really good opportunity for making connections amongst each other while they're there. I've heard from lots of families after the fact that they've, you know, made some good connections and had really good conversations while they're there.
That's the best, right? Being able to meet people who maybe have been going through or gone through something similar that you may have experienced as well. And I just want to mention this too. There's no registration required.
Correct.
There's no fee to do this. You just show up, right?
Free family event, free individual event, no pre-registration. We will have people register once they get there. Just, you know, kind of a participation waiver. And then there are free t-shirts for the first 30 adults and 30 kiddos as well.
So get there early.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's 100 goodie bags for kids.
Oh, nice.
Snacks and little treats in there.
So really something fun to do with your children on that Saturday morning. Yeah. And it's really cool because the airport trail is flat, right?
I'm stroller friendly,
dog friendly, everything friendly, right?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite trails to walk, especially when you're tired and you know you need to get out, but you don't necessarily want to go up, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and if it's the 5K, do the people, is it long enough or do they just do, like, is it back and forth a couple times?
My memory is it isn't long enough to go all the way out and back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you go out and back and it kind of covers it, or I don't know how long that would take, but I'm sure the 1K is...
The one mile is pretty short, but the 5K, I'm trying to think how long it's taken for us to do it in the past. I feel like everybody's kind of done by about 10:30 at the latest. Yeah.
And I know that some of the runners out there, does this count towards the road runners?
That is a great question. I don't actually know the answer to that.
It doesn't as of now.
Road runners, if you're listening, make sure you get connected with Bartlett Beginnings or Anchor Counseling and make this part of that a journey, right? Because I think they keep track of everybody's times, especially since it's a 5K, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. But it's also a 1K. And then I love this. Did you say there's an 80-foot
80 yards.
80 yards. Yeah. Okay, so almost a football field length for the kiddos. Is there any age limit on that?
No.
We've had one-year-olds making their way
down.
Oh,
I love it.
Every kid gets a little medal at the end, so it's very exciting for them.
That would be so adorable. Okay, so let's talk about the reason that we're doing this, the reason behind it. There's a lot of terms that you have that you're able to share. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at words like birth healing and reflection, right? Birth trauma, perinatal support. So give us a little bit of info on some of these topics and maybe the sessions, support groups that you're offering too. We want to hear about that.
Sure. So the last Wednesday of every month from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., we have the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Group. So this is just anyone who has experienced loss, whether it's of a pregnancy, an infant, infertility. So that is open to anybody, free. Registration is a one-time on the Bartlett website. And then me and Sarah are both facilitators of that. And then right after that group, also last Wednesday of every month, is at 7 p.m. is the Real Talk Mother Support Group. So really just navigating the challenges of parenthood, motherhood, and really talking about some of the hard things that don't get talked about when it comes to motherhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome. And Bartlett Beginnings, how do we find Bartlett Beginnings? So I know it's part of Bartlett.
Yeah,
I know
it is part of Bartlett.
Yeah.
Really, if folks just go to the Bartlett website, through the calendar section, it's pretty easy to navigate and find any of the upcoming events, like the one that the groups that Terry's referencing. Or typically 3 or 4 times a year, we also run the Birth Healing and Reflection group that I think you mentioned, that is really just a processing opportunity for folks to, you know, if they have some unresolved pieces around their birth, it's an opportunity to kind of meet with other folks who are looking to process their birth and share their birth story in a supported environment with us there.
Yeah. It's such a major event in someone's life, and obviously if there's a loss involved, then that becomes something that's with you for your life, right?
Of course,
and being able to process that with like-minded individuals is a wonderful thing to be able to have access to, right?
Yeah,
being able to know that you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. That piece of not being alone. And I think our tagline on the event is let's talk about it, right? So it's those two pieces, bringing light to these topics. And I think that really gets at people not feeling alone.
Yeah. I think talking about things is probably one of the most beneficial. I mean, here I talk for a living, but but I think it is something that is positive because you want to be able to not hold it in, because then that can affect your health, and then it gets your thoughts can roll along, and all of a sudden you're going down a trail you don't want to be going down, and in terms of the things that you might be thinking, and just be able to get out and talk about it. And so this is really cool. It's the Real Talk. It's the third annual Real Talk Walk/Run. There's something for everyone. It's family friendly. It's free. There's a toddler trot. There's a kid's half mile, the 1 mile, and the 5K run. No registration required. It's this Saturday, October 26th at 9 a.m. Just show up at the Juneau Airport Trail, and you can be part of this and learn about some resources and maybe connect with some folks and talk, which is really awesome. So thank you so much, Sarah and Terry, for joining me today. Gunnath Cheesh.
Thank you so much.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, author Bridie Phelan Heidel on her memoir Bright Eyes and her upcoming talks in Juno this week. And this year's Rotary Youth Exchange students stop in to share their journeys here in Alaska. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from DJ Thompson. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening.